actually had some questions.
Those questions, I don't usually do, but I'm going to ask you those questions because that'll get us into the process of what we study. What is the topic of this chapter? And by the way, what is the chapter?
Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts. And what's the chapter?
First
Corinthians 12. And in First Corinthians, we're going to go all the way to 14 because we're not done yet. What is Paul's desire regarding this topic? What do you think he wanted? Why do you think he taught this?
Give insight on the gifts that were given to
him. Do you remember what we talked about last week about the Corinthians? Who were these people? Were these a mature, godly group of people who worked together?
They followed kind of whatever their own people.
They kind of did their own thing and followed their own people and were always in battle. They were not functioning like the body of Christ. In fact, if you think about it, how did the Greeks approach knowledge? If Paul went into like Athens, which he did, what did he do? Where did he go?
He went to the assembly where they were just talking about knowledge, every new thing.
So everybody just chatters all over, and that's the way the Greeks dealt with knowledge. They just, what is your opinion? And what did you think about that? And then
Gnosticism.
There had to be a cacophony of noise. That is not what Christians do. And so Paul is trying to take these people who have no concept of what it means to be one functioning person, people, and try to teach them. So what do you think his goal was?
Unity.
Unity, and how did he do that?
I'm saying one body.
One body.
Many different gifts.
And therefore many members. But one body. And we're not all bodies within ourselves. So we'll look at that. And who gives the gifts?
Holy Spirit.
Is it just the Holy Spirit?
Jesus.
Jesus. Whoever Lord is.
The Trinity. Hey.
Woohoo. It is. They are spiritual gifts. But we still have the work of Christ and the Father. And we'll look at that. Although it doesn't say Jesus when it says it. Who receives the gifts?
Christians.
Each one.
Believers.
In the body of Christ.
They have to be believers. It's the body of Christ. And that's why he's keeps applying everything to the body of Christ. Because you're not out there by yourselves. And the Jewish people themselves would always believe that everything was done in community. So when the boy hit 13, he had his bar mitzvah, but they didn't call it that back then. He became a man, and that was done in community. So when Christianity became the fulfillment of what God had said in the Old Testament. And I think of somebody like Jonathan Edwards. The picture Jonathan Edwards gave back in the early part of the United States of America was the church births the next generation, which means as the church, the whole, is teaching the children of the growing up generation and they become believers. It isn't like we like to talk about it. We come out of an evangelical background. And the whole movement in the late 1800s, early 1900s has this idea that, in one moment, flash, you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you are now saved. That is not a biblical concept. The concept, but it happens that way because that's the way it happened to me. But the concept is you grow, you learn, you hear, you understand, and one day you walk in it. And it's just all part of being... for the Jew, it was a Jew, but for Christians, it was part of being part of the church, and you were part of the church from the time you were born. You were not saved. I'm not saying that, although there is a confusion of that in the Christian church, because there are those who believe that when you're little, you get baptized and you're saved. That is not biblical. And what are you saved into? You actually are saved into the church, which is also not biblical. Which is why we go through this chapter, because you get both the individual and the group. So So let's see what it says. So what's the next question? Why are the gifts given?
For the common good.
For the common good. We saw that several times. When are the gifts given and or received? We talked about that a little bit already. Got any verses on that?
In his time that you're doing.
Just as he wills.
Well, it would be in his time, but it's also when you receive the Holy Spirit, not so. So it's not like you're going to get one gift when you're a brand new baby Christian, and 50 years later you're going to get another gift. Those gifts are there until you have the Holy Spirit, which we'll keep looking into. How are the gifts given? These are your questions.
By the Spirit.
And how does he do that?
The way I termed it was from God through Christ by the Holy Spirit.
And how do you, how does he distribute it? It's in verse 11. Mm-hmm.
Individually to each one, just as he wills.
As he wills. Individually to each one as he wills. So it isn't something you get to will.
Right.
You don't get to get rid of it either. You know, people always think, and we see this when we get to the weaker vessel, stronger vessel thing, that somebody who is teaching really loves to be up front. Ain't true.
Jesus.
In fact, we were just talking with Don earlier. He was saying that he didn't want to go home because he didn't want to be by himself. And I said, I love being at home by myself. Thank you very much. It's harder to be around a lot of people. And I get worn out. By the time I go home on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I'm exhausted physically because I'm relating to people. And that's not my natural inclination. It used to drive my mother crazy, but she was a party girl. What gifts are mentioned in this chapter? And we'll do that in a second. What analogy is used in 1 Corinthians 12 in respect to spiritual gifts? What is an analogy?
A likeness.
Like a man's
similar.
The body is the analogy.
The body is the analogy. What is the what is it the analogy for?
It compares two different objects. Personifies.
Right. And what objects are they personifying? I'm trying to put that in words last night. I almost got myself tongue-tied. What does it personify?
The body of Christ.
So the human body,
yes,
is used to teach us about the body of Christ, even though we haven't gotten Jesus in that mix yet. It's the human body teaches us about the body that we're going to talk about, which is the church.
How
which
different parts work together.
How they work together, what that looks like. And
why they're all needed.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read this, I sort of had this picture of this hand running off by itself. It's like, okay, I get that. What are some of the gifts? Because it said, what are the gifts? Okay, slow down. I'm writing them. What are they?
I got wisdom.
Wisdom's first.
Faith.
Wisdom.
What kind of wisdom?
Spiritual wisdom.
Words of wisdom.
And knowledge. I don't want to write word of again. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah,
we still do a plus K from years and years ago on knowledge.
Pardon?
Plus K with a line over it.
Yeah. Anytime I do something that I write a lot of, like righteousness, it becomes R with a line over it. Okay, what else?
Prophecy.
Prophecy.
Healing. Gifts of healing.
Gifts of healing. I'm just going to put healing.
Faith.
We have faith on top.
Exhortation.
Miracles.
Tongues.
Distinguishing of spirit.
Wait a minute.
Prophecy.
We have prophecy.
Helps.
Just a minute. Along with gift of tongues goes what?
The interpretation.
Interpretation.
And there's also distinguishing of spirits.
Speak of tongue.
Gift of helps.
Wait a minute. I can't even spell, let alone that fast. Distinguish. U-I-S-H-I-S-H.
By the way, that's not a capital. Spirits. Okay, there was something else somebody gave me, and I didn't
Elves.
Get
it.
Helps.
And administration.
Yep. Okay.
Healing.
Mm-hmm. We have healing. See anything else?
Apostles, prophets, and teachers.
Prophecy up here.
Apostles, prophets, and teachers.
Okay, not the last part, and that's different.
Okay.
We're going to do that, but it's different than this list.
Okay. Position.
It's this list.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that. Okay.
This is where Kit Kay and I differentiate. But I'll show you why.
Does she put those together?
Most people do, but you can't. No. Anyway, well, I guess you can. But
you can, because some people do.
Because some people do.
They're listed that God gave
that's,
them.
That's so. Why I do sometimes visual aids, because doing it visually, you start to see how it is, how things are different. Okay, and why do you think that Paul chose the analogy of the body?
Those I think it's easy questions. To understand that you need your both feet, you need your both hands, you need both eyes, you need... You know, you need those
and when you don't have those
that,
things, like let's say you had a son born blind, right. You could see what not having them causes. Right. And so in every culture, probably particularly in cultures back then, you can see what the perfect unity looks like and when something isn't working, what that looks like too. You can just look your verses up when you get in there. So we have... the analogy, but what does analogy mean? It's comparison. So it's the same thing as comparisons, although there's a little bit different because this is a big picture. So the big analogy is the body. Are there other comparisons? Yes, there are. So we'll talk about that when we get there. What are some of the contrasts that you saw in this book, and how do you tell the contrast? And by the way, when I get comparisons... Oh my goodness, all these. I didn't even see an orange. I'll use a red. Okay. When I see comparisons, I just do an equal sign, or it's the same as. And when I do contrast, I'm just going to show you what I do. I do a squiggle. And I put that on my paper so that I can find it. Because it's hard sometimes to find those things. Did you have, can you just think of offhand, things that you learned from from contrast? What are contrasts?
I usually start with a but.
They usually start with a but, sometimes a yet. But they're opposites. They're kind of showing you a teaching by an opposite. And we'll see some of those. Can you think of any of them that were in this?
Like variety of gifts. Versus same spirit.
But the same spirit. So what is being contrasted there?
Many gifts and one spirit.
So it's actually many in one. Mm-hmm. You see that even though it was using many gifts, same spirit, what they were contrasting was many in one. You get that in this chapter a lot. Many in one, many in one, many in one. So the contrast will teach us something. And what was Paul trying to do? What was Paul trying to teach them?
One God. One body.
Why this book? Why did he write this chapter?
Because they were going hither and yon with their beliefs.
Seems like unity, the big picture would be more like unity, you know, in the body of Christ.
I mean, when you're done, that's what he's teaching, isn't it? So he's using tools. These are tools. He's using tools like analogy, the body. Tools like comparing. Tools like contrasting, opposites. Many, one. Did we see many in one often? Let's...
Varieties of ministries.
Same varieties and
same. Varieties of effects, same God.
Verse 6.
And then verses 8 and 10.
What is in verses 8 and 10?
Varieties of gifts, one in the same spirit.
In fact, if you look at verse 7, what is verse 7 teaching? You don't see a contrast there. Just tell me what it's teaching. It's given the manifestation of the Spirit. Who is given manifestation of the Spirit?
Each one.
Each one manifests the Spirit. So what does the spiritual gift do?
Manifest.
It's manifesting the Spirit. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what?
Common good.
For common good. Now look at verse 11. You've just gone through a whole section that names gifts, right? And then you come to verse 11, and what does verse 11 say?
One and the same.
One and the same Spirit. And what does the same Spirit do?
Works all the same, distributing to each one individually just as he will.
So on one hand in verse 7, you have the Spirit manifests.
Manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
And where is the manifestation of the Spirit?
In the one.
Because it's talking about to each one. So he's talking about a person. Each one manifests his Spirit. But what's the purpose of manifesting the Spirit? What's the outcome? It's for the common good. And then you go to verse 11, which is your contrast to verse 7. One and the same Spirit. So it's not a Spirit for each one of the gifts, is it? And you don't get a distribution of the spiritual gift and have it be different than the Spirit I get or the Spirit she gets. It's the same Spirit, but it looks different in you as a gift. But it's the same Spirit. Does the gift belong to you?
Gives it to us.
But does it belong to you?
No.
If I stayed home and studied all day long and never, ever taught a class, would I be using my spiritual gift?
No.
I would be being very self-centered. It's not for me, it's for whom?
The edification of the body.
So, is there any place where a Christian can pull themselves out of the body of Christ and do their own thing?
No.
No, there is not. So verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Is it something you deserve?
No.
Is it something you asked for?
No.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. So who gets to take the glory for it?
He does.
God. Let us never forget that. Anything that you have is given to you by him for his purposes of the common good. So what is your job supposed to be? And figuring it out. Figuring out how he wants you to use it. You can, well, we'll get to that. Okay. So verse 11 is the contrast to verse 7. There is one Spirit, and there is manifestations, but it's all for the common good. So we have quite a few contrasts. Actually, see it at this point. Can you guys see before this? I can see down there, so it doesn't matter. All right, so let's go back to verse 4. And tell me in verse 4 what the contrast is. There's a contrast in there. Let's start with 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Then verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So what is the contrast? Somebody said it earlier.
One and many.
Okay, so and varieties.
One, many and one.
And varieties and one. Varieties of what?
Gifts.
One what?
Spirit.
Okay, so there's a varieties of gifts, and that makes sense because how many people are in this room? And all of us have different gifts. Not different necessarily from everybody in the room, but even if you have one gift, you more than likely have two, and it may not look anything like what the other person has. So there's variety of gifts, same Spirit. And what in verse 5, it says there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. Is there a contrast there?
Varieties?
Same contrast.
But the wording doesn't give us the same that it's a contrast, does it? It's kind of just carrying through that same thing. So there's varieties of gifts and varieties of ministries, but the same Spirit and the same Lord. Verse 6 gives us a contrast. What is that contrast?
Varieties of effects in the same God.
But effects.
Outcomes. Results.
All right, I'm going to start looking at some of these words you may or may not have looked up. Does anybody look up the word works? There's a word works in verse 6. I don't know that it's in your... In this book, 1 Corinthians, there's two words used for works, and so it's actually three. And we're going to kind of look at them and see the difference. But this word works, let's start with effects. What is the word effects? That should be in your handout.
So the result of the energy of God.
So what is effect?
The result of the energy of God.
It's an energy. It's number 1755. 1754 is the word works. It's the same word. One is a noun and the other is a verb. So if it's the energy of God in the believer, what is that talking about?
The Spirit.
The Spirit himself.
The power of God gives.
Do you remember in our study, for those of you who are here, when we studied Genesis, in the beginning?
The Legos?
Hmm?
The Legos? The Lego effect?
The Lego effect. But the picture is there was an energy that went over the face of the earth that is like this energy. And that energy was the Holy Spirit. So this energy here... there are varieties of effects. There are varieties of outcomes. There's a variety of the energy, but what?
Same God.
Okay, so hold on to that works because we're going to talk more about it. It's not like the works we have in James. It's not like the works of the law. It's a different picture. Okay, verse 7.
In my Bible, it says, "Works is the Greek word indicates power and operation that produces obvious results."
Right. So where does the power come from? It does. And that's what we need to remember. So if you have a gift and you want to use your gift and you're using it in your own power, it ain't the gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you're doing good things. It's still not God. What is the purpose of us using the gifts of God through the Holy Spirit? Who gets the honor?
God.
Remember our part we're going to talk about in a little while about the weaker and the stronger? It's very, very important we pay attention to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question then. How do you know your gifts? Like you just said, if you're doing something nice and stuff, but if it's not your gift...
You can do nice things that aren't your gifts.
But how do you know what your gifts are then?
That's why we're having this class. And hopefully by the end you will know. I know the first time I took this class, it was the first time I ever knew what my gifts were. So we'll talk about those things more and more. Right now, we're at the pattern stage of the suit. Are you going to wear the pattern?
No,
I just go to the store because I don't have
it. Exactly. You try on those bits.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You said you're a seamstress. I got that gift.
But then in 31 it says earnestly desire.
Mm-hmm. We will get there, but what did that question, what was part of that question? There was a question with that. What did the question ask?
I'm not sure. I just had that question described in the next one. I was the whole reading.
The question was...
Oh, is it plural or
Is it plural or singular, basically?
Which drove me nuts. I spent hours trying to figure that out and never did figure it out.
You can't. How I don't you understand know? That. You actually can't without Greek tools.
Well, I even looked it up on the internet for the Greek. And
well, the Greek tools are, and I will get there. So I guess like, you have to stay paying attention.
Don't ask me that when I can't find out.
if you have any kind of, tools, computers, you look up the word Gramcore, because what Gramcore does, it's a tool that will actually go through and tell you all the parts of speech.
Do you have any idea how that's spelled?
Gramcord.
Okay, just like the sound.
Yep, Gramcord.
Thank you.
It's Gramcord, Hort, and what is it? Yeah, but it's just Gramcord.
Okay, what's the last?
G-R-A-M-C.
Okay, where was I? But we didn't have any contrast, so we're going to keep going. Where is the next contrast?
11.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Last time we were together, you mentioned that when we were talking about gift sex, and you mentioned that in the right situation where a person will possess all of the gifts. So you have a ministry of a missionary that's out there all by himself. He's going to go from apostle all the way through.
Well, not all the way through, and we'll hold on that.
He'll use whatever is necessary for the ministry that God's put him in.
That God called him to before he was born.
Yes.
So did God know what gifts he needed the day he became a believer?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll save this
one. We'll keep working on it.
Yeah, because this could go a long way, so I'm going to save this one.
I actually know where you're going with that, but we'll talk more about that. I mean, when we think of Paul was sent out to whom?
To Gentiles.
To Gentiles. He was the first apostle, first missionary sent out to Gentiles. What gift did he not have?
I don't know.
He built tents. Who knows? Generally, gifts divide themselves in two ways, and we'll do that when we get to 1 Peter. But gifts are generally either service gifts or verbal gifts. Can somebody who has a verbal gift have a service gift? I think my husband does, because I always have to sit on him saying, you can't do everything in the church, knock it off.
They can.
So,
you've got head gift, that's usually your verbals. You've got this part, there's your giving and your service.
Well, it can be even more than that. I mean, there are people who have the gift of mercy, and you can sit and think all about that one all you want. Where does that come from? Where does it fit? And God calls an evangelism. What does God tell us? That we're all to be functioning like evangelists. Do we all have the gift of evangelism? No, we do not. And we're not going to ever necessarily look like someone who has a gift. But that so when he says to function like you have the gift, like an evangelist or evangelism, what is that talking about?
Be ready to give a reason for the hope within you.
Be ready to give. But does that mean you have to hit everybody that you meet?
It just means when the time is, you need to be ready.
When the time is right. In other words, you should know what the message is. When I came home to see my family after I had become a believer the very same day, and I told you I cried for 5 hours, so you can imagine what I sounded like trying to tell my mom what had happened. I was trying to evangelize her. I just cried because I didn't have any words. So what do you think the next thing I wanted to learn was?
Words.
What just happened? What happened? And even when I started understanding, I still didn't know how to say it. All I could do was like answer questions or, you know, it sometimes that takes a little time, unless you have the gift of evangelism, you're probably babbling as soon as you become a believer. The first thing I did with a friend of mine is I just loved the pastor who was teaching on the book of Ephesians. So instead of giving her the message, I sat down and read the whole book to her. I didn't know what else to do. There's process. Anyway, and we will get to that because we're going to talk about 1 Peter. So verse 11 is a contrast from what? What is the contrast?
7.
And what is the contrast? What is the contrast?
One spirit distributes to each individual.
Okay, but what's the contrast? You've got one spirit gives to each individual, but what's the contrast?
Works all these things just as he will.
So we just saw a whole list. Yeah. What is that whole list in verses 8 through 10?
Wisdom and knowledge.
Okay, what is that whole list? That's the manifestation of the Spirit. And for the common good, but the contrast is one Spirit at work. So there's the manifestation in this class is going to look different with every one of us who have a gift. But there's only one Spirit, and it's only his work. So that's what's amazing, is if all of us went home and did what God has called us to do, it would look different with every one of us, but it's just one Spirit. And he has a purpose in that. It's like he has the master plan.
Yes.
And he uses each one of us by manifesting himself in each one of us to accomplish the master plan. Are you going to accomplish the master plan? No. So get the weight off of your shoulders. We are a team. We are the body of Christ. Team members is another one. You could picture us as each as a team. We're part of a team. You're not... The pitcher isn't the whole game. He cannot win the whole game. You've got to have some... Guys, it's quarter two. We're taking...
One thing before I leave.
Sure.
And I'm sure you're going to tell me we're going to get to it, but... Are you ever given a gift that, being uncomfortable is one thing, but a gift where you just don't like it? Is that, or is it something that would be tailored to you and that you would enjoy?
I am a introvert.
So you don't like talking?
And I'm very, by nature, very shy. And I'm a tomboy. And I was a young Christian, and God said, "You will speak to women." What do you think I thought?
Oh, no. That's crazy.
Not going to happen.
But you do enjoy it. Yeah.
I have come to enjoy it.
Oh.
But do I look forward to it? I'll give you a better example. My friend Alice, who is a lovely lady. She's a lady. I don't really think of myself as a lovely lady. I'm a tomboy. I can fake it, but... She is a lovely lady, and she and I came to this together and learned together. And when she taught, I finally talked her into teaching a class, and when she taught her first class, she lived 14 miles outside of town. She would drive 7 miles, get out of the car, and throw up. And then go back in for the next 7 miles, and Alice is still teaching. So am I.
So not necessarily.
She's not throwing up anymore, probably.
No, I don't think she's throwing up anymore. Yeah. Besides, now she lives in town, so. Yeah.
I think that it's very possible that if we were really comfortable in our gift set and it was something we really enjoyed doing, it would be really easy to stand up and say,
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just smoking here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the fact that the gifts are...
That we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to accomplish the gifts.
Yep, which is going to be called step out.
Right.
And grow in stepping out and that stretch.
And learning how to listen and learning how to pray.
Yes.
I mean, there's so much
yep.
we learn with all this.
Yep.
And so for you to think that you're going to feel comfortable with it, some will... Probably not. Well, what I think is funny is I heard somebody say one time people who keep wanting to be the verbal or the pastor or something is the one that God probably is not going to use. Mm-hmm. Because you don't need God for that. I mean, you could... How many times have you heard pastors fall majorly and even walk away from the Lord?
Meaning,
were they ever really there?
Wrote
and if they weren't ever really there, how did they ever teach? Because they liked listening to themselves. I don't know what else to say. And there are those who shock the world, but they walk away an atheist. So it's possible, and that's why we, each individually, need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And as we talk about, like, distinguishing of spirits, we will talk about the believers who need to deal with those people.
I heard someone make a really strong statement one time, the fact that while she was being stretched and groomed into a position, she desired the position long before she attained it. But the thing that God showed her in that was that she was capable of holding, of getting the position, but not capable in character yet of holding it. And so a lot of times I think our gifts have to be groomed and grown and stretched to where...
I think they all have to be. That's the reason we have discipleship. Because even if you're talking about... I mean, somebody said helps doesn't, but if you're talking about the gift of helps and you're trying to learn how to be God's helper and not your own because you could do it because you've done it before, you would place yourself under somebody else who is doing it and seek from them how they learned and how they function as a disciple. This is where we start learning how dependent we are on one another, because... discipleship is something that should be going on all the time in the body of Christ. And it and as whatever, if you finally know what your gifts are, I would suggest you look around and see who God wants you to disciple. Because he does. This is not a generation where you have one generation and start all new. It is in the sense of every generation is a first generation Christian. I don't care if your parents are or not, you have to be a first generation Christian. But that doesn't mean as Christians we don't learn from the generation past. Any questions on that? Okay. So we have the contrast of the manifestation of one in the whole, one whole, and the Spirit who works. The Spirit who works. Any other contrast that you might have seen?
One body, many members.
Where'd you see that, Kim?
12 and 14.
One body, again, contrast, many. So when you approach a book for the first time, or in our case, a chapter, you go through and you read it first. Don't do any marking. And then you'll go back and you'll start marking some of the things you maybe noticed when you were reading it, like the contrast or the comparisons. Time is very important. We haven't talked about that, but we'll get there. And even in that verse, for it's of one body, many members, of what? What is the body?
It's Christ's body.
It's Christ's body. So there's another thing we'll have to talk about at a further time, because that could be a little confusing. But so also is Christ. Christ is what?
The head.
Well, don't go out of the verses. Stick in your verses. We'll get to head later.
Okay.
What'd you say? You guys mumble.
Well, they are many, are though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ.
What is Christ? Is he many?
He's one body.
He's one. So there are many, they're all members of the body, though they are many, are one. Also is Christ. Christ is what? One. So we'll keep talking about that. Any other... How about in, again, same thing, verse 14, the body is not one member, but many members. So, one body, many members. Same thing again. Okay.
The gift defines it a little bit more by going on to say.
And that's kind of what we need to get. Sometimes we'll get it from one angle and not the other that it's talking about, and the reason they keep repeating it in many different ways is so we can kind of finally get it. But obviously, as many times as this talked about it, it's fairly important we understand there are many in the body, but there's only one body, only one spirit, only one Christ, only one Father. But there's many. And many have what? What makes us part of the body?
Holy Spirit.
So what ties us together?
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do when he comes to us?
Himself.
He manifests himself, and that starts to look like gifts. And what are the purpose of the gifts?
Common good.
To pull us all together. So we just keep repeating over and over these pictures. All right, let's see. What else did you have? You did not have this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because these are giving us the parameters of the book. I put it up here, the if-then clauses. In Greek, they use this a lot, and sometimes they use the word then. In this case, they did not. But you can start to see them. Where's your first? And the ifs usually start out in the left, in the first part of the sentence. Where do you see the word if?
15, if the foot
if
says.
The foot can't talk.
If
so
the foot what?
Says.
What do you say?
I am not a hand. I'm not a part of the body.
Keep going.
It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body.
So the if statement is if the foot says I'm not a hand, what?
Does it mean it's not a part of the body?
That's where your then is. So it would be if the foot says because I'm not a hand, then I am not part of the body. You actually even have another then. It is not for this reason any less part of the body. So, because I'm not a hand, even if I say, why, on what basis would the foot say he's not part of the body?
He's saying because he's not the same as the hand.
He's looking at the hand.
So now we're starting, we've gone from...
Comparing himself.
So we've gone to what? What is the picture we've gone to? I'm looking at you, I see your gifts, I don't look like I have those gifts, therefore...
I don't have anything, maybe. I mean, who knows? Might be
something.
Whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
Do we do this in the body of Christ?
Certainly.
We do. We have gift envy. If you want to put it any other way. So if I look at someone else's gift, in this case, the foot says I'm not part of the body because I'm not
I'm
what?
Not the hand.
Hand. I didn't write that right, but let's see. Where's the if? If the foot says, because I'm not a hand. Because I'm not a hand. I am not part of the body. Erase that.
The foot says, I'm not.
Because I'm not a hand, then I'm not part of the body. Then I'm not part of the body. Okay, so where's the next if?
16.
And what is that?
If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body.
What does the ear say?
I'm not an eye.
I'm not an eye. Then I am not part of the body.
So, Kat, what is that here?
You can't read my writing?
No, I'm looking at that little red squiggly.
Oh, that's what my then.
Contrast.
When I do it straight up and down, that tells me there is a, it's an if then. If this, then this. Whereas this is the contrast, that's different. It's sideways. This is more straight up. It's just the way I did it. You don't, and the reason I do that is because if there is an if statement, I want to find out what the then is. Sometimes it says then. You'll get, like in Romans, there's a lot of thens. If then. But these are if then, you just can't find the then because it's not in a word. But the statement is there. So he's saying, if I'm not an eye, then I'm not part of the body. If I'm not a foot, if I'm a foot but not a hand, then I'm not part of the body. And what is the answer to that? Same answer.
Verse 15 and 16.
It is not for this reason any less part of the body. So why am I saying I'm a foot but not a hand, therefore I'm not part of the body? Because I think the foot is not as important.
Right.
As, well, go try and walk down the road.
Right.
And the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is not, for this reason, any less part of the body. So what is he telling us about the gifts here?
They're all important.
All of them are important.
And, you know, you say that all the time. Just because I don't learn the same way she learned doesn't mean I don't belong here and I'm not going to...
Exactly.
...do the same.
Exactly.
Learn the same.
And my job... as a teacher, the one up here is to figure out how everybody learns so I can help you learn. I can't teach it to your heart. The only one who can get in there is the Holy Spirit. So the best I can do, this is like somebody who's eating. I need to make a meal that's going to, I mean, we think about this with refugees all the time. They'll come over here and they'll look at what we feed them. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to eat that. Yeah, but you got to get nourishment. So I need to figure out what you can eat.
Oh, I just have a question. So you have some people who are kind of beating themselves up because they're not something, and some people who are kind of judging others because they're not like them. Are there some personalities, gifts, types of people that are more self-conscious and some that are more others-conscious? And either one could be a good or bad thing.
I think self is the foundation of all sin.
Yes.
And that's why I think he says this about gifts, because if we don't, if I say I'm not a foot, I mean I'm a foot and I'm not a hand and you are, therefore I'm not part of the body, who am I thinking about?
So, they're both very self-centered.
They can
it's
be,
just,
yeah.
It's just that there's some people who think they take it out in the sense of
some
all
or more,
about me, thinking about me, and it sounds very humble. And
right.
Others,
exactly.
Just kind of judging others, and I just wonder if you could break it down to types of people, types of gifts.
I
that
could,
are more
but
that
we
way.
Haven't studied that. Oh, not as gifts, though. It's more. It is more personalities. I know when I became a Christian, I was both arrogant and tore myself apart all the time because I grew up in a household that did that. And as I started looking and learning, when my father was going to blame somebody, he blamed everybody else under the sun but himself. So blame was outward. When my mother blamed somebody, it was always herself, even though it wasn't her. So we have a tendency, I think the outgoing person blames everyone else. And the ingoing person tends to take it all to themselves. Where do we get in trouble with that, with gifts? Like,
your daughter.
I'm so sorry.
Your daughter is calling now. When you think about your children, because there's enough of us there who are older, and they did not walk with the Lord, what do you look at?
Me.
First, we do look at ourselves. We need to look and see, did I give an example? Did I teach them?
was I perfect? There's not one of you that can answer yes to that. And if you are, you're lying to yourself first. But of course we didn't do it perfectly. But if we gave them a plate with all the food on it and they chose not to take that, you cannot blame yourself for that. Because they too have to have that relationship with God. And if they're sitting there saying, I'm not the hand, I'm the foot, and I can never be used by God. I have one child who, because he has not had a spiritual experience like I did when I came to the Lord, he does not believe that God wants him. So what is he waiting for?
Get better.
He's maybe waiting for that spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. That's no different than saying, oh, I'm the foot. I got the teaching, but I didn't get the crashing wild spiritual experience, so therefore God doesn't love me. I can't change that. I have talked and talked and talked and taught and changed and loved, and it's got to be between him and the Lord. I cannot do anything more than I've done. Does he resent me? No, he doesn't anymore. He did. So I need to be the best mom who loves him to pieces, and that's what the best mom is, by the way, the one who loves him to pieces, no matter what. But it's still got to be on his plate. He's got to eat it. I can't eat it for him.
You know, it's one of the things that I think, too, is there's a thing called a vent for the gifts we're given. We have them.
And if you're a believer.
Yes. And like, well, because in present company, right. I assume. I probably shouldn't, but I do.
Never assume.
Yeah, you're right. But like you're saying, in your case, where you had an upbringing of a certain type, you developed a bent. Okay, we develop bents on our gifts, and so you'll have a gift of helps. The bent of that, which basically is the twisted side of it, not walking it out of the Holy Spirit, but out of your twistedness from whatever crash happened to you throughout whenever. And this will exhibit itself as a codependency. And I think that each and every gift has that bent.
Can.
Can, if it's not submitted to the Holy Spirit and it's out of wounds and troubles and experiences that we've had through our life, we look at things through a lens according to our experience.
Which is why we study the Word of God, because we have to figure out
and be healed
where we have
internally.
Where we need to be healed, where we have a blindness, where we have false belief systems. There's not one of us in this room who don't have some false belief systems.
Yep.
And the reason we study God's Word is to eliminate that. Because when God's Word says it differently than I'm thinking, then who's wrong?
And at that point where we become healed from those things, we change out of the bent, and now we walk in our gifts according to the Holy Spirit. So you don't have that, I need to be the foot because I don't
want
to be.
Or we just acknowledge it. We can just say, that's a lie.
Yeah.
I don't need to be anything that God doesn't want me to be. And by the way, if you think that happens in 10 minutes, it doesn't. It takes a while. Maybe even if we walk away from the bent and still don't understand all the ramifications. Which is why I say, guys, your job is to focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And learn how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. With those two things, you will have the Bible taken care of. But if you think it's going to happen by just knowing them, you're wrong. It's going to be tested. Okay, so we are. Do we have any? Did I want to put anything more up there? Oh, I don't have half of them. How about go down to, well, do we have, okay, let's just read 17. If the whole body were an eye, what?
Where would the hearing be?
I mean, that's the actual answer to it. It can't be one thing. If the whole body were hearing, what would the sense of smell be? I thought that was interesting how that pops in there. Sense of smell isn't talked about any other time. So you can put those down. But how about verse 26.
Actually, 19.
19, okay. Okay, yes. Yeah.
If what they is? They were all one member, where would the body be?
So you would be a church, and 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 how would we function? We wouldn't need anybody else. We'd just go off and be our own, all the gifts and preacher and the helps. Okay. So you can put this down on your list if you're doing that. So it would be there all one member. Where would the body be? So how about verse 26? It means there's two of them in there.
Well, didn't you skip 21? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you.
But there's no if.
Okay.
We're going through the ifs. It isn't that they're out of contrast and comparisons in other places. Actually, that would be a comparison, wouldn't it? But verse 26 is an if, and what is the if?
One member suffers, all members suffer with it.
Now, how is that true? I've never lost a leg. Pastor Dan has lost a leg. He suffers because of that. How do I suffer? And what would that be? What would that look like? And if you are suffering and I am not suffering, what does that say about me?
Not very much love there. Not very much part of the body.
I'm not getting the body part. I'm letting you do it all on your own. And that's kind of the point there. We don't do it all on our own. In fact, it's not only when we suffer. When one member suffers, but what? And it's the same verse. If one member is honored, what?
All other members
rejoice. We don't get jealous. We don't get jealous. We don't envy. We rejoice. Why?
Because somebody's honored. The body's honored.
But who is being lifted up? If that person is honored, they're honored because they're lifting up the Lord.
Right.
And if they're lifting up the Lord, we're all rejoicing together.
Kind of like the body's healthy, we can be all healthy.
Yeah. Now, does that mean that always happens that way? No, but that's another story, and we're not talking about that today. Okay, so, do I want to do that? Yeah, let's just talk about that. Because the contrast to all that, the contrast to that big picture, the if-thens, or the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body, which is what I think you were beginning to see, young lady over there, the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which deem honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Why the heck this verse in the middle of this whole section? What's it telling us? Because you just learned what? One whole body, one. You just learned there are a bunch of gifts. We just learned there are the ifs and the thens. If I'm not a foot, I think I should be a hand, then I don't understand. So what is this on the contrary? Well, let's get 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the hands of the feet, I have no need of you. Why can't we say that?
Because we do need.
Why?
All parts of the body.
Because we're a whole body.
We'd be handicapped without that.
It would be like, you know, we're all different, and when we mesh together, we make a unit.
A very beautiful unit that we wouldn't see if we didn't mesh together.
Right.
So if you have a body that's functioning, all his hands or all his feet doing their own thing, it's not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's not only just a body of this room, but it's in the city and the state and all history. We're all part of the same body. We need to learn how to mesh together. Because who is getting honored and glorified in this? Christ is. And the reason we talk about suffering here is because he's the one who suffered first. How did he suffer? What does that mean? I mean, anybody on the cross is going to suffer. But before he bore our sin, who was he? And what do we know about him? Anybody? Did he deserve that cross?
No. He's innocent.
Why not?
It was a spotless lamb. Innocent.
So he was perfect, yet he suffered. So is it going to be any less for us when we're not perfect and deserve the suffering? But as we are suffering, we walk together. So no one person is having to bear that by themselves. And when we do what is good and healthy and right, there is honor as we use our gifts given to whom? God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's where our gifts come from, and that's the point. It is for the common good, which gives honor to God. So if one of us is honored, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's why we can rejoice. Yeah?
And because of all of that, it says in 25, the reason is so that there is no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So if one suffers, all suffer.
So what does that mean? What would cause division in the body?
One wanting to be a hand alone, stand alone.
Because who are they looking at?
Themselves.
Even if they don't, if they say, my gift is not good enough, right. I don't have a very good gift. It's not a very honorable gift. It's not a very necessary gift.
And if we look at it, what it says there, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks. So whether you think you're lacking or not, you have that gift to exercise.
And again, we're all looking at the Holy Spirit who gave the gifts for the purpose of the common good of the body. And in that sense, and it's hard sometimes to understand why the hand would be more honorable in the eyes of another person than the foot, but God is saying that he gives honor to the foot. Why? So we stop looking at each other, I think.
Well, yeah, to realize, to grasp that we're all one body.
And the outcome of that is
to walk together.
We need to learn how to walk. Is that easy?
No,
because we got
personalities.
Especially when you go in different directions.
And bents.
And bents.
So from this, without learning anything else, anywhere else in the Bible, I need to learn how to honor others and be humble. Okay.
And that takes some pendulum swinging for
Could it take the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And
breaking. Pardon?
And suffering.
And suffering. And it's usually suffering we brought on ourselves often.
Often. To me, this brings judgment. Judging people.
Uh-huh.
It shows how much it's in you.
Well, it's in the American culture. Do we know any other culture? If we lived in a culture that looked at it differently, we might start out differently. But the reality of it is, we are all born into a world of selfish little babies. And those selfish little babies have to learn how to not be selfish and how to be humble and how to look at others as more important than ourselves. I think that's in Philippians. And this is why we study the Bible, because we can't do it on our own. And we don't even understand it. I mean, we are in the West Coast. The West Coast was made up of strong generations ago. Strong people came out here and fought the Wild West and everything else. So we tend to be very strong-willed, very independent people. So to learn how to be part of a body of Christ is going to take a lot of work. And I've said this before. There's some of us in this room that are justice-oriented, and we can get at a point and say, well, that's not fair, that's not right, that's not a biblical statement. I need to learn how not to be justice-oriented. The only way I can do that is care about that other person. Yeah. And so when I hear some terrible things that people have done on the news or something, I know I'm supposed to learn to love that person. Is that natural? If somebody's killed a child, is that natural to love them?
No,
I want to go kill them.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus died for them too. Now, they may be hopeless because they may have hard hearts and hard necks, but at the same time, I need to learn how to be different. and to respond differently. And I am a very strong person in those things, and I want justice. And then I have to think about, do you really want justice for you? Oh, well, then I would go to hell. And sometimes we have to take things to those extremes to understand what Jesus is teaching us, and the humility that that he had, being the strongest person that ever lived, and was killed by others because it was his Father's will. Can we do that? Not naturally, we can't. Somebody may just lay down, like you were talking about codependency. You may have somebody that's so totally, just go ahead and kill me, get it all over with. Well, that's not it either. Yeah. Okay, so if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice. Now you are Christ's body, and that's the first time we put those together. Christ's body and individually members of it, God has appointed in the church. Okay, now what does the word appointed mean? Did anybody look that up? I'm going to have you guys look up some verses, because I want us to get a picture of this. Because I think the language sometimes loses us in this process. Would you look up 1 Corinthians 3:10? Would you look up Ephesians 4:11 through 16? And would you look up Ephesians 2:20 through 22?
What was that again?
My friend. Ephesians 2, okay. 20 through 22.
Thanks.
I'm going to read this again. We're going to get this down on this, and then I want you guys to read your verses. God has appointed, this is the word we're looking up, appointed in the church first what? Apostles. Okay. Second?
Prophets.
That's different than that word, prophecy. Okay. Third?
Teachers.
Fourth? Oh, it doesn't say fourth. Miracles. And next?
Gifts of healing.
And next? Helps. These are all gifts of. Gifts of helps. Gifts of
administration.
And
various kinds of tongues.
Okay. God has appointed. This is the word we're looking at. Okay, you want to read 1 Corinthians 3:10?
According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it.
Okay, the word laid is the same word as foundation, is appointed. What was laid?
The foundation.
Now, this is the same book. And this is the same word. And here it is used as God is a master builder. He laid a foundation. Then we go to verse 20, and God has, you can look at the same way. He's laid in the church. What is he laid in the church? Keep thinking about it. Ephesians 4:11-16.
And he gave some as prophets, and some as apostles, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be as children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by with every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
Okay, so what is the point? What is the body trying to do? Your last few words.
Building up.
trying to build up. So now we need to see how this is built up. How is it built up from our verse, which is God appointed? God did what?
The foundation.
He laid a foundation. Just like a building. When a building doesn't have a foundation, it's going to fall faster. Okay, so what is the foundation according to our verses?
First apostles.
And what is the point? And then third, teachers. What are they supposed to be doing, according to your verse, Tori?
The equipping of the saints for the work of service.
So they're building up the body. It starts with the foundation. God is a master builder. He laid that foundation. But what? Well, actually, here, grace of God was given to me. This is Paul. And like a wise master, I laid the foundation. What is the foundation? It's God. It's what you know about God. How do you learn that? By the apostles, prophets, and teachers. When you think of the Bible, what is the Old Testament?
Foundation.
It's foundation, and it's the prophets. Your Old Testament is your prophets. The New Testament, in fact, it says this in Acts 2:42, where it talks about we're supposed to be as the body of Christ now, learning the teaching of who?
Christ.
Through the apostles. The apostles' teaching. So we have the prophetic teaching of the Old Testament, or prophets' teaching. It's just a picture of, it's a picture, again, more like an analogy. It's a picture. So you have, it's built on the foundation of the teaching of God, and you learn it through the Holy Spirit. The apostles, the prophets, and the teachers. Now, who had the next verse? You have the next one.
I need to back up to 19, though.
That's fine.
Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
So what's the chief cornerstone?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. And what do we do? Where does it start? What is the foundation?
The apostles.
The apostles and prophets, which is the teaching of God's word. Uh-huh. Christ is the cornerstone, and we build on top of that. What do we build on top of that? That was Ephesians 2, by the way. She did 19 through 22. Anybody can answer that if you want to. What is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? The church. And the truth that God, and Paul is part of that, isn't he? He teaches, and we learn from him. He's one of the apostles. He's the what we call the 13th apostle, but nevertheless. Okay, so when we go back to our verse, God has appointed the church. Did he say he has given the church? Is it the same as this? It's different than this. This goes on top of this. But what is this? This is
the office.
It's an office. Exactly. We'll talk more about that because we get that. Yeah, we'll go through it when we go through Ephesians 4. But it's different than this. Can the apostle have any of these gifts?
Certainly.
Does he have to have all of them?
No.
What are present-day apostles?
Church planters.
People go out and teach the Word of God in places that it's never been taught before. We tend to call them missionaries.
With the tongues, is that referring to
languages?
Another language?
Well, if you go to, and we will talk about this, but if you go to Acts 2, read Acts 2. Not now. Go home and read Acts 2. And we will talk about this.
Isn't the...
that's the under the manifestation gifts. The gift of tongues would be the one that is presented publicly in the body during service or whatever, and has to come with an interpretation.
Then read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. A little bit different than that, but yes, if anybody wants to read about the tongue, the gift of tongues used in present day properly, and by the way, there's a lot of improper use of the gift of tongues, or of tongues, read the book Brucho, B-R-U-C-H-O. We have it in our library. That's the only place I've ever seen myself, but there are other places that it has been used. But it's a story of a young man who became a believer and felt God wanted him out to go on a mission field, and he knew nothing at all. I mean, he really knew nothing. And went out and ended up in Colombia on a mission field. The people who were supposed to teach him and take him in as a missionary didn't, and so he was really on his own, and he went out to a tribe of people. He was a linguist, so he learned their language. He didn't know any other way to do anything. He learned their language and was working them for multiple years, and they learned about the one who walks the path, that's Jesus. And they decided they wanted to talk to their neighbors about Jesus. And their neighbors didn't even have the same base of a language. Like, it would be us, like, going out speaking Chinese. And, you know, that's a, there's a, I don't know that much about languages, but there's the...
Tonal. Isn't it tonal?
Tonal, yeah. Versus what we do. so there's no words even in... Like, if we speak, if we listen to Spanish or French or Latin, sometimes we can pick up words because we use them in our language. But there's nothing, nothing the same. And this is a neighbor. And so he said, well, he's not going to stop God from doing what he's doing, but he just prayed they wouldn't get killed because they were cannibals. So they went out, and they were gone about a week, and they came back rejoicing. And they said they all accepted Jesus. And he's like, how did you even talk to these people? And he said, well, we just talked. Basically, they talked in their language, and it was understood in their language. That's tongues.
Yes.
So if you're in the church and you don't have people with a language, that's a different story, and we'll hit that in 1 Corinthians 14. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. You know, some of the things on this list are on that list also.
Right.
These are gifts, and those were appointed. So
well, this picture here is Bill doing what?
The office of the church.
This is building up the church. And so it's kind of giving us a direction on how that happens. Okay, if you go out in the mission field, right? And you take with you the teachings of the apostles, prophets, and teachers. One of the, that's another thing. I don't want to give this all away. What is the purpose of miracles? I'll ask you that.
To glorify God.
And by the way, it's the same word we've been using for works. Okay, so I have a new message, and I don't know who you are, or you don't know who I am. I have a new message. What is the best way for you who don't know anything, for you to stop and listen to what I have to say? Pretty much that's what the apostles and them did. Did they continue with those? Not if they weren't necessary. Do we have them today? That's the big question, isn't it? Okay, same with healing, same with anything else. This is how you build the body. But you have to start with the apostles, prophets, and teaching. You can't go anywhere without that. Mm-hmm. Right? What did Paul do when he went out to the people who were not Jewish? He had to give them a foundation. And then he gave them a foundation of the apostles' teaching. Read any of the books you're reading from that perspective. What is he telling them? Why does Hebrews look so different than the rest of the New Testament? Why does James look a little bit different? Because they were really geared to a Jewish people. And James was geared to a people who were very aware of Proverbs. And Hebrews was given to a Jewish people because they were still saying, well, what about Moses? What about the angels? They're, you know, no, Jesus is better than.
better than the system, better than the law. Complete, you know, so you're getting a different story than the Gentiles did not need that story. Same way. You're getting little bits and pieces, guys. We're just starting this study. Okay.
But we're so curious.
I know, but I don't want to confuse people who aren't quite so curious. Okay, so go to verse 29. After we've just seen apostles, prophets, so on and so forth, what do we see in verse 29?
All are not apostles.
All are not apostles. This is very important. Because you're going to be told in your life, you should have this gift, whatever gift it might be. And what is this telling us?
All don't have all the gifts.
All are not apostles. All are not prophets. All are not teachers. All are not workers of miracles. All do not have the gifts of healing. Do they? All do not speak with tongues. Do they? All do not interpret. Do they? But what?
Desire.
Okay, this word, it would be as you. You. But it's all y'all. What's all y'all? See, the English is bad with this because we can't tell when you have plurals often. What does all y'all mean?
Everyone.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah. So is it singular or plural? It's a plural. This is a plural word. All y'all earnestly desire the greater gifts. What have they just been talking about? Structure of the church. So what are we desiring? We want the church to be built. That's what it's talking about, guys. We get into all sorts of things with this, but it's saying, okay, we've come together. We want the church built in this area. What do we pray? That God fill in the gifts that are missing. Because when we fill in the gifts that are missing, the church will go forward. If you have an entire church of the gifts of mercy, which, by the way, places like the Salvation Army have you ever listened to one of their sermons?
No.
Not good. They have the message. They have passion for the Lord. They love the Lord. But we had a friend who was one of the preachers for the Salvation Army, and he invited us to his church service, and we came, we went, we need these gifts in the church, because we often don't see mercy in the church. But he needs the gift of teaching in this building with these people. So earnestly desire the greater gifts. Does the Salvation Army call themselves a church? No, but they do meet like they're a church.
And there are good preachers. I've heard them, and they're not.
There are gifts. There are things all over the place. Yeah. I'm talking about my friend. Okay. You see the word miracle? You guys were talking about it. I was going to give you the word miracle. Here is the word dunamis. What is that word? Some of you know
dynamite,
that word.
Like.
Dynamite, that's the word we use. Well, what do you think about dynamite?
Powerful.
Powerful. That's what the picture is. It's powerful. It's power, especially achieving power. All the words derived from the stem duna have the meaning of being able and capable. It may even mean to will. And then it gives a contrast. But it's an intrinsic power, either physical or moral. So we translate that miracle, but it's power. It's dunamis, it's power. So why would power, which, by the way, miracles are, why would power be important as the God appoints the church? Why would that be important?
It's God's power.
It's and?
His power, Holy Spirit.
What is the greatest power that God has ever shown this world?
Jesus rose from the dead.
The resurrection, absolutely. And if we don't get the understanding of that, we're never going to be able to talk to people who don't. Do they see power, like, for instance, when we go off into cultures that are off in the woods and the fields and the jungles and stuff, do they see power? Mm-hmm. What kind of power do they see? Power for evil. Your God's got to be stronger than the power for evil. Do you need that where you stand? Not necessarily, but the church definitely needs the power of God being exhibited when it's necessary. Do Did God do that when he took his word for his Jewish people in Egypt? What happened in Egypt when Moses was there?
Judgment on Egypt.
It was. Did they come back with power too?
Yes.
They did.
Yes.
So who won?
God.
But it wasn't about us winning. It's about truth being known. It's about truth being lifted up. There is power all over this world. If we don't understand the workings of the devil and his cohorts, you may not understand why you always feel you can't do anything and you're oppressed and your whole family is being attacked and blah, 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 blah. It is. It could be. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than
Amen.
He that is in the world.
Yes.
Do you believe
Amen.
That?
Amen.
So if we believe that, we will function that way, and we will not be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment. But perfect love knows where it's going. Doesn't mean you're not going to die. But if you go out as an apostle, you better know it may cost you your life. And that's okay, because that's what God's manifestation in your life was for. Questions? Well, I didn't go the way I was going to go at all. That's interesting. But I hit everything, so weird. Next week we do lesson 2. And you're still doing, still working that chapter study, so keep reading that last page of your notebook, because you will use it. And then come in with questions if you have questions on the process. If you have questions on the process or the text, you're allowed both sets of questions. Okay? So keep a little notebook and write down your questions. And I'm going to let you go 4 minutes early.
Oh my goodness. You were good today.
Yes. Your dad aren't talking much. It was more the second half.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's why you're studying. Now, for those of you that also includes you, you don't have a book yet.
Yeah.
They have. You're
going to
make an order.
Okay. Turned off. Turned off. Thank you.
So, I have an extra.
Yeah.
An extra? I